001 Chayv Chalvodus Bav Kuf Tzadik. The last few lines on Bav Kuf Tzadik. After we're coming up to the end of Parakei, and Parakei of Shari Yichud HaMaisa had a listing of various of various ways that the Yetzer Hara tries to entrap a person. You have to realize that it's a progression. In other words, what is this doing in Shari Yichud HaMaisa? It goes from lower to higher. In other words, these last few enticements of the Yetzer Hara, it's already talking about people who have overcome the previous ones. He's not just throwing a shotgun approach at of 50 different things the Yetzer Hara might do. Although he does that, but it's a progression. It's an, even if you overcome this, he'll come at you with that. And even if you overcome this, he'll come at you with that. So it's always a progression. So as we learn, certainly as we learn these last, one day we'll chazer Shari Yichud HaMaisa, but certainly as we come up to the last few paragraphs of Shari Yichud HaMaisa, and so you have to realize he's talking about nisyonos, he's talking about attitudes that the Yetzer Hara tries to entrap a person in having that can affect even big people. It can affect you even if you're already on the right path and you're doing good things and you basically do what you're supposed to do. But as he goes on, he's already talking about people who have overcome all the things he's talked about in this Perek Hamishi of Shari Yichud HaMaisa. But still the Yetzer Hara comes at you with this and with that and with that. So the things he says now, you have to realize, is so... it's something that would be machshel a person even once he's holding on a madrega already. So when you read it and he portrays it sometimes in such a down to earth way that it sounds almost childish, but he's really talking about things that affect virtually every human being, because he's already talking about someone who has overcome the things in Shari Yichud HaMaisa, and still these are things that would affect him without the proper preparation and without being on guard against it. His whole point in Perakeh of Shari Yichud HaMaisa, in talking about these things, he said in the beginning of the Perak, is that it's something to guard against. And if you remember, every paragraph ends up with how you should combat this particular enticement, this particular nisayon of the Yetzer Hara. So we're up to the bottom of Daf Kuf Tzadik. Maybe it's kedai, I'll say over quickly the paragraph before the very last paragraph on Daf Kuf Tzadik, where he said that the Yetzer Hara, it's very nageya everyone. There should be more people here listening to it. He said the Yetzer Hara tries to take you away from Talmud Torah. He tries to minimize, and he wants you to be happy with learning Mishnah Brura. I'm quoting now the Chayv Halvavus. I'm not giving a drush of my own. He wants you to be happy learning Mishnah Brura and the Yesodei Hadas, and you know the 13 Animamins, and you learn Mishnah Brura, and maybe you learn some Mishnayos, and you chaperain some Shnai Mikra Vechatargum, and maybe even a Daf Yomi Shir. And the Chavis Halvada says that it's the Yetzer Hara wants to tear you away from Talmud Torah, and he says that you shouldn't spend your time with what the Gemara calls Havoyos Tabaye Varava, with really delving into the depth of the Gemara. He talks about, he says, he's quoting the Eitz Hara, the last few lines of the, next to the last paragraph of page Kuf Tzadik. He says, V'chadal min yoni hadinim v'kuche chachomim, what's the difference? Toshma, v'ayta toshma, and another argument, and a svara, and a mesve. It's not getting you anywhere. V'altis asek p'yadiyas ikri ha'yichocha. And he says, you have to delve into the logic of the Gemara. You have to make sure you understand how the Gemara proves something. How does the Gemara prove something? What does it use as proofs? The Yesodei Hadibur. I would imagine Yesodei Hadibur means that there's a way in Hilchus logic to present something. There's a way to prove something. How you say it? You have to express your proof. You have to be clear and precise. Yesodei Hadibur means to be precise. You have to zero in on the point you're trying to make. That's also a chokhmah, and it's a chokhmah of Torah. And that's why you can make a diuk from the Gemara's Lashon. Because Chazal, certainly Chazal, and we have to learn from that, spoke very precisely. And that's why the Rishonim make diukim, and that's why we sit and make diukim in the Rishonim. The Achronim, it's maybe debatable, it's not so clear to what degree you can be medayik in their Lashon. Certainly to a degree you can be medayik. I'm talking about now the subtlety of Lashon. Maybe it got lost, but certainly we assume that in the Rishonim, every word in Rashi is laden with meaning, every word in the Rashba is laden with meaning. And once you establish the right girsa, because sometimes it's a problem there, but once you establish the right girsa, I can tell you from my art scroll experience, and I hope nobody walks out of here saying that I compared the art scroll staff to Rashi, but there is a comparison to be made. And that is that I have experienced countless times, me and the whole staff, we experience it every day, every week, how we could spend hours and hours and hours, b'lishum guzma, talking about a point, and then the only manifestation of those hours of conversation is one word. What word to use? We use this word and not that word. And we certainly all have developed a much deeper appreciation of Rashi and the Rishonim, because we see it's taka very important what sentence you say first and what sentence you say second. And you can be making the same points, but the progression and the order of the paragraphs and the sentences and where you put a note. Rashi did not pick his Divrei Hamaskels at random. Rashi, and when Rashi says Lakame Meforesh, he's saying there's a reason. There's a reason why Rashi said Lakame Meforesh. It means that something would be bothering a person, and if nothing's bothering you when you learn the Gemara, and Rashi says Lakame Meforesh, it means you're not thinking about the Gemara properly. You're not focused on the Gemara. If nothing bothers you. Because if Rashi said Lakame Meforesh, it means this, that the average person learning it should be bothered by something here. So Rashi right away quickly says, don't worry, Lakame Meforesh, relax, calm down. So Yesodei Hadibur, when to say something? When do you say something? I don't know if the Olam here has the... B'moichel me, I'm sorry for... Rashi invariably, many, many times throughout Shas, will explain the Mishnah according to the Havamin of the Gemara. I mean, it's almost like it's almost a Yesod in Rashi. Why in the world does he do that for? The answer is Pasha. When we were writing Oscar, we figured out the answer. I mean, it's no big Kiddush I'm going to say. It's a Pasha Dazach. Because Rashi wants you to experience the Gemara as the Amoraim experienced it. He wants you to live through the Shakla Vataria. If he tells you the answer of the Gemara before you go through the Shakla Vataria, you're not going to appreciate the Shakla Vataria. You're not going to reap the benefits of the Kasha of the Gemara if you already know the Teretz. So Rashi is looking at a person, and I want to tell you, when people give him samples for Art Scroll, 70% of the samples have this glaring error, that the writer feeds the maskana, feeds later Gemara to the reader, The writer feeds later Gemara to the reader, and that's not good. You want the reader to experience the learning himself. And Kasha Teretz. So when the Chavis Halvada says V'yosodei HaDibur, he means the logical use of Dibur, to be precise, to think carefully when you're going to introduce an idea. The Rishonim and the Gemara is very, very carefully choose how they introduce ideas. You throw too much information at a person at one time, it's no good. So the point of the Chavis Halbavis is that the Chietzahara, boy, I'm going to get into trouble now. The Yetzirah wants everybody to just learn Daf Yomi. I'm not knocking Daf Yomi. Please don't walk out of here saying that. But the Yetzirah wants everybody to feel, I'll say it the right way now, the precise way. The Yetzirah wants everybody to feel satisfied that they've done their share of Talmud Torah once they're learning Daf Yomi. And I'll quote Rav Moshe Shapiro, Shlita, who I used to go to a shir of his before I got caught up in the 417 bus. So he quoted Shmuel Birnbaum Shlita as saying, I'm not knocking Daf Yomi, but it was Hanukkah time. So he quoted Shmuel Birnbaum as saying, Azag Zeira vidaf Yomi hab nafilo de Yevonim nistoish gestracht. If you don't know Yiddish, let's keep it that way. The point is of the Chavis Halvavis is not to be satisfied with it. Okay, everybody should walk away with that. It certainly has made Talmud Torah, it has been Marbit's Torah to an amazing degree, and Rav Meir Shapiro knew what he was doing. He knew how the Dairus would be Yored, and that gives people a taste of learning. And it gives them the Yediyah and all of Torah. If they learn it properly, they'll keep the Yediyah, and that's wonderful and important. But it's fascinating to me that the Chavis Halvavis makes a point of calling this an enticement of the Yetzirah, that he wants you to be satisfied with that and not delve into the Gemara. The Sugei HaHakeshim, when the Gemara compares things, contrasts things, what's Pshat and Tosfos Kasha, how there's a cause and effect. The Eichus Shaychus Ha'ilo Le'olol. You make a Maisa Kinyan, the Kinyan's Chal. It's a system, to understand the systems of the Torah. Hezek makes you Mechuyev to pay money. Borrowing money makes you Mechuyev to pay money. Knas is another way of being Mechuyev to pay money. So I just said three things, but they're all different. They're all different ways of owing money. They're all different types of owing money. Lo ha-rezu ka-rezu. So, you know, this is what he's talking about. That depth of learning. The teyum limudei ha-nigla, limudei ha-nister. This, very, very few people have shaychus to this, but it's a chelik of Torah. There's no question the Chavis Halvavis is implying, he's more than implying it, he's saying it, that nigla is connected to nister. Here, I mean, I'm sure there are people who do this. Maybe once in a while, please let me finish the thought, please. Once in a while, I used to go to Shurim from Rabbi Yael Kahan, from Chabad, amazing genius, amazing. So he used to say Shir in Monsi. He said a special Shir for the Rebbe guys, because Rebbe wouldn't let us go to the Tanya Shir during Night Seder. So we went after Night Seder, and he made a special shiur for the Rebbe guys. So once in a while, he would learn a piece of Torah or other Svarim, where the connection between Nigla and Nister would be seen. Like, we had a little taste of it then, where, like, you know, Arba Ovos Nezikin, like, what do they represent? Or this Sugi and Shabbos, and how a Machloikas about Dover Shein and Miskaven. Or if, certainly if Mitzvah is Kavana, you know, how this is reflected in Torah's Hanistar, in Olam HaSal Yoinim, in more esoteric concepts than the Gemara expresses it. So the Chavis Halvavis said this is also Talmud Torah. You know, you have to do. But the Yetzirah says, what do you have to do it for? So it's true, you know, this you don't do unless you're very well grounded in Bekiyos and Iyun and everything else, but it exists, it's part of Torah, and if you don't get up to there, okay, you didn't get up to there, you ran out of time in your life. You run out of time. But to think that it's not something that's worthy of being learned, that's what the Chayvus Halbav is saying. The Yetzer says, right, you know, you're a Jew, you gotta know what to do. Like I say, learn Mishnah Berurah, you'll know what to do. Learn Mishnayos, so you'll know Kol HaTorah Kula on a certain level. And that's all. And then use your time more constructively than what did a Goyim derisively to talk about. They're talking about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what I think I'm getting from what you're saying is that the Daf Yomi, you know, it's a superficial...
Oh, boy. It's superficial compared to a deeper learning.
As opposed to
a deeper learning.
Ripping every...
By definition. No. Not Daf Yomi per se. I know people who spend the whole day learning Daf Yomi. So they can learn, you can learn Daf Yomi in depth too. It's not the Daf Yomi, it's the 50 minutes that's spent on Daf Yomi.
That's the time placed on it makes it.
By definition, yeah. How can you learn a daf in depth in 50 minutes? I mean, you can't. The Chavis HaLovis is pointing out you shouldn't be satisfied with it. That's all. I really want to repeat that again. His point is don't be satisfied with it. Realize this Torah is amuka and rechava, and you have to, you know, and don't let the Yetzer Hara say that I learned. I'm sure that there are people who... I'll talk about Daf Yomi because it's important. I'm sure there are people who said, oh, I learned the Daf already today, so now I have spare time, I could read a book. That's what the Chavis HaLovis was talking about. Now I can do something constructive because I paid my dues. I kept up with the Daf. That's what he's talking about.
Okay, but what I'm trying to get, the 7-year cycle of it, the seven-year cycle of going through all of Shas, okay, as opposed to, you know, it might take a guy, it might take him 5 lifetimes
to rip apart
every single new one.
Lo alecham locha ligmar. You ever hear that song? Lo alecham locha ligmar.
But as opposed to, is it a matter of...
If a person has an hour a day to learn... If a person has an hour a day to learn, he has to ask a shayla how he should spend that hour.
Right. It's a serious thing. Is it a matter of part of the concept of Daf Yomi is to you know, people's attention spans, like it or not. Okay. I think I've seen I've seen it being in the night seder process for a number of years. You start something and very often don't finish it. Because it's very detailed.
That's what the Chavis HaLovis wants you to fight. Don't give in to that. Don't say it's not worth my while because it seems so arcane and so...
Not even arcane, but people get bored easily.
People have to realize their natural strengths and weaknesses, and certainly a person's learning should be tailored to his natural strengths and weaknesses, certainly. Chavis HaLovis is talking about Yetzer Hara. He's talking about therefore going off and studying literature and studying science and studying physics, not as a parnasa, but as something to while away your time with, because it's more worthwhile. That's what he's saying.
Also a product of the
so if it's boredom, so learn in Yaakov, which is interesting. I don't know. That's what he's saying. The Yetzer Hara says that. And now he says even something more powerful, which is very scary. He says that the Yetzer Hara tries to talk you into being soimach on others. Right? I've received a lot of flack for this, but I'm very happy now that I see that the Chavis Halvada says it. He says you have to, a person has to figure out what he can for himself. The Yetzirah tries to tell a person, go be soimich on the Balei Mesores. Balei Mesores means the big people of the generation who are carriers of the Mesores. Just like you're soimich on them for things that you can't figure out. So the Yetzirah says, so why should you bother to figure out what you can figure out? Just like you're soimich on them for things that you can't figure out. So there's a great shortcut. Be soimich on them for things that you can figure out. This is the Yetzirah talking. Usmoich al balei hamesores b'mesha atayochol la'amod al amitaso. What you could figure out, be soimich on them k'mosh atasomich aleihem b'meshenimna mimcha dover zeh. This is the Yetzirah talking. He wants to take you away from Talmud Torah. He wants you to take away from figuring out Torah with your own seichel. And therefore, he says these things, and he says in the earlier part of the paragraph, he said, and therefore he says, so go do other things which are more worthwhile and more constructive. Now we move on.
Isn't there another Yetzirah saying, why ask them? You figured out on your own.
How would you know? I don't know what you mean by Yetzirah. If the Yetzirah is taking you away from, you're talking about something that you taka cannot figure it out on your own. Well, how would you know until you try? It's true. You know, after you try, then you can't.
No,
so,
you try and you say, this makes sense to me. You come up with your own svarah, that's not the
case. A person has to know if he's kidding himself. Of course, if a fourth or fifth grader is paskening Hilchos Shabbos, so there's something wrong. And if a 20-year-old is paskening Hilchos Gittin many times, it's also something wrong. And if a 40-year-old is paskening Chveis, you know, you get the idea. Of course you have to know what you're able to know and what you're not able to know. But he's talking about what you are able to know. If you don't know what you're able to know or not, that's why you're supposed to have a Rebbe, or a Rav, or a mentor, or, Reb Chaim says in Pirkei Avos, a good friend, who's objective, and will tell you what your strengths and weaknesses are, and where you're kidding yourself and where you're not. Everything's work. Nothing comes easy. You have to work at everything. You have to work at knowing what you're capable of and what you're not capable of. And if you can't figure it out yourself, that's why you have to have a Rav to tell you, to guide you.
There's not, there is a specific Yetzirah for people to say, an ego.
Everything's a Yetzirah. That's what we've been learning for the last few months. We've been learning the Perikei of Shayichin HaMaiser. Sure, the Yetzirah for everything. It's the Yetzirah that says you could figure this out as well as someone that's bigger than you. So don't discuss it with him. Don't ask him. Figure it out for yourself. Yeah, that's also Yetzirah.
Reliance on quote unquote,
that's better. I don't know. The Chavis Halvada says, and I quote, that the Yetzirah tries to get you to be soimich al balei mesores in something that you can figure out, just like you inevitably have to be soimich on them for something that indeed you can't figure out. And therefore he tries to get you to utilize your time not in Torah matters, because he gives you shortcuts. Okay. V'chaser lo sishma lo. And then the person that doesn't give in to this, so his mama, she's sitting and learning. So what does the Yetzirah do? He yira b'cha, very poetic. He will shoot at you chitzei hakina. He's already, we're holding at the end of Perikei and Shar Yichud HaMaisa, which means that everybody would be susceptible to this. Kina is. You know, so you think of it as childish, but if you just, I'll tell you three figures in Gemara and Chelek. Big people, tremendously big people, who because of kinnah were yored the Be'er Shachas. Yerovam ben Nevat was so great that he gave Shlomo HaMelech Musar, and the Navi congratulated him and said, you're going to become a Melech over Yisrael because you had the guts and the principles to give Shlomo HaMelech Musa when it was called for. And because he had kinnah, because the Chazal tell us, because he wasn't able to handle that he wouldn't get the kavod, the full kavod that he felt he should get. So he was choti umachti asarabim, and Yeravim ben Nebat becomes the symbol of a choti umachti asarabim. Doag and Achitofel, Rosh Beis Din, Tamidei Chachamim, people that, what it says, talking to Achitofel and being shayolaitzu with Achitofel was like talking to the Urim V'tumim. People would run, line up to get his eitzes and to hear his wisdom, but because of his kinna of David, and because of Doeg's kinna of David, these were Rosh Beis Din, Big Tamidei Chachamim, they ain't like chelik olam haba. So that, and the Chavis Halvadas has it as the next to the last paragraph in Perek Hay, you could be sure that you're not talking about, children of kinna too, but you're talking about people are always looking over their shoulders at the next guy to see where he's holding. And in its lichubalimudam biladecha, and if they, heaven forbid, are matzliach in their lives or in their learning, or in the knowledge of Torah, or in their ability to handle life beyond what you are, you mekanei them, notarta lohem, you hold a grudge against them. He's describing the human condition. The tachshov lahamimam ulahashpolam, and kinna makes people sick, physically sick. People die from kinna. People get stressed out. They can't eat, they can't sleep, they kishkes grind inside of them. This is not something that's uncommon in the human experience. On the contrary, it's very, very common. A Rebbe, let's say, so he wanted to get a different class, and they gave a different Rebbe that class. This is kinna, you can't stand it. Anybody that's passed over for promotion, I'm always looking over at the grot to see who's walking into that building. This is something everybody has that inside of them, that they're looking over to see what's doing by the other person. As Chavis Havodos puts it, next to last, it means even after you've overcome everything, this is a very, very and look how he describes it. You want to put them down. You want them to fall. Bahaskircha migra osehem. You'll always make sure to mention their weaknesses, and to make people and to put yourself up by putting them down. Ki'ilu. Listen what he says. This is such an insight into human psychology. Ki'ilu heim shodadu mimcha, as if they stole from you tvunoscha. As if they stole from you your wisdom, and if they steiged over you in learning, what is kinna? Listen, Mamash, how he's describing kinna. You will always, because what's kinna? It's a silly, what is it? It doesn't make sense. He's saying kinna is because you feel that they took away something that belongs to you. When you look over at your neighbor's garage, and you see a car, and you mekane him kinna, I mean, that's my car. Really, that car should be by me. That's kinna. That's what's eating away at you. Really, I should have that car. Really, I should have that class. Really, I should have the kavod that person gets. Really, I should. But he stole it from me. And so... That is what kinna is, so much that you'll even think it doesn't even make sense. They stole my. Oh, he's smarter than me. He knows how to learn better than me. But really, I do. He stole that from me. As if they stole from you. He stole from you a car. You had a car that they stole it from you. And even in Parnosa or in Kobold, every person's share is nigzar milamala. Nobody steals anything from anybody. But that's how you feel like. That's what kinna is. Kinna is the feeling that really, by rights, you should have it. And he took it away from you. That's why you should know, Rashi, what does Rashi say in Pinchas? Rashi says a very strange thing. Rashi says, Bekano is kenosi b'toicham. So Rashi says, we have a chumash here. What? please, someone knows Rashi by heart. I don't need the Chumash.
The word kinni has no definition.
What? Thank you. Rashi says a very strange thing. Rashi says, in the beginning of Pinchas, the kana was kenasi b'solcham. Rashi says, kol kinna, kol oshun kinna, hu hamischare linkom nikmas dover. The kana was kenasi b'notmo es nikmasi. He took my revenge from me. He was angry and he took revenge. Kol oshun kinna, is someone taking the comma. Say, whoa, Bishlam here, okay, Kanas Kanasi, you figure it's a Lashon HaMushal, but that's the depth of what Rashi is saying, what the Chavis HaLavis is saying. You want to take the comma, he stole your car from you. That's your car in his driveway. You should have that car. What's he doing with that car? You should have that kavod. What's he doing with that kavod? He stole it from you. You gotta take the comma. That's why you're angry at him. Because you want to get back at him, because he took something away that's rightfully yours. That's the, it's silly, you know, we're laughing, but we're all afflicted with it. That's what kinna is. It rightfully belongs to you, so it's eating you up that he has it. So that's, you're taking the comma. That's the pshat and Rashi there.
I'm missing the point.
I know, but it's not fair. It's not fair.
Who is envious of Pinchas?
Rashi says he, let's not use the word envious. Rashi says he was the kinna that Hashem should have exhibited. Pinchas did it for Hashem. And he took nikmas Hashem. It was nikmas Hashem. But Rashi's relating kinna to nekama, and he says, kol kinna hu lashon nekama. This is the pshat that the Chavis HaLavis says, you mekane someone for being for outshining you in learning, like you end up feeling that he stole from you. It's silly words, like the Chavis HaLavis is using words, and like you laugh when you read the Chavis HaLavis, that you feel as if he stole from you your chachma. That's what you think. Nobody can steal from you your chachma, but that's what it is, kinna. You feel it rightfully is yours, and he stole it from you. That's the unfortunate, that's the meat of kinna. Okay, well,